Are you hungry for adventure?
Do you crave hilarious and perilous tabletop campaigns?
Don't bother rolling perception, pal. We've got you covered.
Behold, Dungeons and Doritos, Nerdy Show's epic tabletop audio drama, a cinematic serial of mayhem-filled, morally questionable quests at DungeonsandDoritos.com.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by Bay Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hey, I'm Doug.
I'm Boar.
I'm Brandon.
And oh man, I'm so excited. All six of my nipples are tingling. This is a time in our lives where we're ad-libbing and it just skids directly into a brick wall.
This is definitely a time in our lives.
Yeah, it totally is. I don't know. It's been a weird afternoon and a train of thought that has thoroughly derailed and crashed into a bunch of onlookers. So we're gonna be talking about what's up with us, what's up with the nerd world at large, and
I'm currently sweating. If you must know,
some shit we've been doing.
You're sweating.
I don't. It's cold in here, and my armpits are going. It might be because I'm drinking this shit. This green
what
shit.
What is that?
It's cold in here. I'm sweating.
It's just a jar of chlorophyll.
Chlorophyll, more like borophyll.
It's chlorophyll.
I had nothing to do with that beverage. To tell you what, today
when you have sex, when you have sex with plants, you're a chlorophyll.
That is a very good point that no one has ever made to me. His
plant, Brad, is called Chlorophyllis.
Is that true, Brandon?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Yep. Hold on, I gotta drink more from her.
What's?
Here, you wanna try it?
Yeah. Try what? It. What is this?
It's chlorophyll. Chlorophyll.
Straight from the cell.
Oh,
wall.
You really chugged it. I wasn't joking either.
That's... plant cells got the cell wall.
I was expecting it to be alcoholic and for Cap to just do a spit take.
Yeah. No, that's pretty good.
Tastes a little bit like a green tea, an unsweetened green tea, almost.
Yeah, almost.
Like a seaweed. Yeah, or the bottom of the ocean.
Like green tea seaweed.
Where the bottom feeders live. Yep.
Brandon's really into taking seawater, desalinizing it, and drinking it with all the plankton intact.
Hey, there's some birds that do it.
I feel like a watery giraffe.
Yeah.
A giraffe of the sea.
That's actually what it says on the product label.
Oh.
You'll feel like a watery giraffe. Whatever that means.
So do you get pills and pop them into water and
no, it's a liquid. It's pure... Well, okay,
Is a liquid. That tastes like a pill when you drank it.
Plants don't have breasts. How
like
does your plant
here's what
wife
happens.
Make this?
Here's what you have. Here's what happens.
What's a pill
you take,
taste like?
You take a pill of chlorophyll.
Oh, you don't want to know.
The pill expands in your stomach.
Which some call a chlorophyll.
And then you take the chlorophyll and you vomit it back up into a jar. And now it's a full liquid dessert.
Is it like those little pills? Are you sure you didn't swallow one of those little sponges by mistake?
No, you get a packet
like those
of you
pills
get a,
of sponges.
You get some chlorophyll and you get a packet of silica gel and you swallow them.
And then you
jump up and down.
A little bit later, you chlorospill some urine right into the toilet.
Anyway, why are we talking about chlorophyll?
You're the one that brought it up because you couldn't give a straight answer about what you're drinking.
I've had so much today. I'm just like sweating green. You can't see it because my shirt
used to be
greenish.
A white shirt,
like a Gatorade commercial.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, what's up with everyone?
Well, that's a good question. I was gonna turn it back on you, other than making.
I mean,
beautiful
while I'm
your
talking, sure.
Plant life, but
if you want to know what's up with my life,
what's up with your life?
We just bought a house.
You and Denica?
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing more to it except it's cool. It's like 10 minutes from downtown. We got fruit trees.
We got a lot of real estate purchases attempting to happen.
Prices
here
are going up. You got to buy now while it's hot.
You got an orange tree?
Dude, let me explain to you the trees we got. We got
a plant harem over here.
We got a pomegranate tree. We got a grapefruit tree. We got a Meyer lemon tree. It's fancy lemons. Avocado tree. We've got coconut trees. We got a banana tree. Did I say banana tree? We got a banana tree. I mean, they're all growing. They're all in mid-growing.
Now, if I understand correctly, you don't own this house yet. You're just under contract.
As of right now, it's about to go through it. Everything has been finished. Like Tuesday will be.
How did you manage that?
In like a week?
It took like a month for me.
We don't fuck around.
I put an offer down and got it accepted and everything like a month before you.
Dude, and they redid everything. It's like new wiring, new plumbing, 1950s like solid concrete house.
Wait, so when are you moving in?
As soon as we can. Next week, I don't know.
What the hell?
We just want to be done.
It is ridiculous. Like, I've been watching your struggle, Boar.
Yeah.
And then this clown car rolls in.
Here's a pile of money, and they're like, you're accepted for this loan. And then, you know, they're like, okay, cool. It's going to take about 45 days for this to go through. And I'm like, what the hell?
Oh, it took us about two.
2 weeks?
Like 2 days.
What?
To get everything approved. We got the appraisal, inspection, the loan.
What the fuck?
I don't know what to tell you, dude. Dude, man, we got a good agent. His name's Terry. I'll hook you up.
I don't know. Houses are for suckers.
Maybe it's the apartment area.
I don't know. House. See, I've been through this process a couple of times, and everybody tells me it takes about a month every time. So
I mean,
that's why I'm so surprised that you're already through it.
I mean, it would have been faster, but there's something wrong with like the outlets they had to fix real quick. That's it.
I experienced that, too.
You know, they forgot to ground all the outlets when they did the new electrical system.
Brandon, I think you just moved into a murder home. It's the only way they could get it.
It's either that.
Yeah, but you should see the brand new tile floors in this murder home.
Either that or Brandon.
That's a feature for you.
Yeah, but and the most important part is now there's a second toilet, so no one will ever have to see me again. Because I live half my life in a toilet.
I'm still suspicious about the expedience of this.
You'll have to see it when it's done.
Switch wipes and sit on that toilet. And be able to go.
You ever seen Unbreakable?
Yeah.
You know the scene where the guy comes up to that random house? And he's like, I really like your house.
Yeah.
He's like, okay. And he's like, can I come in? He's like, yeah.
That's the house you moved into?
No, I don't know you. And then he just kills everyone and locks them up and then takes the house.
Yeah,
that's how you get a house in Florida. Anyway. So house aside, did I talk about my teeth yet on the show?
I don't think you did.
So you guys probably know, but like I haven't been to the dentist in over 10 years.
Weren't we talking about this a couple of
times? Yeah, I feel like we did talk about this.
Yeah, but you've been since?
I don't know if we got the resolution.
You've been. So now you've been?
Oh, I've only got half my teeth done, and then I accidentally pulled one of my fillings out yesterday.
What?
I was trying to floss, man. I got caught, and I was like, this shouldn't happen. I have to call them right away.
Was it temporary?
No. It was not.
It was a permanent one?
Yeah, I pulled a filling.
I've never pulled a permanent filling out.
By flossing?
The place I'm going to is probably not the best place.
Yeah, no. Where are you going to get your house?
And
where are you going to get your teeth?
That's not important.
Oh, wait, did you go to Boar's Budget Dentistry?
The important thing is after 21 injections into my gums, I finally got 14 out of 28 teeth done. So halfway there, guys. Fingers crossed.
Oh, it's good. Come on in. I cock your tooth. what did you just say? I said fill your tooth.
There was a point when I was sitting there with my mouth open for 2 hours, and they were like, oh, it's not working. Get the acid. It's not working. Uh-oh. And I was like, excuse. And then afterwards, I was like, what
10
was
minutes
that?
Later, Brandon's tripping balls.
After that, I asked him,
he's got a house.
I was like, what was the uh-oh part where you needed acid? And they're like, excuse me? And I was like, were you just? And they're like, we don't know what you're talking about. I was like, oh, shit. So I don't know what's in my mouth right now.
So what was, did they find anything that, I mean, clearly if you're spending 2 hours in the chair.
No, that's just because there was a filling on every tooth requires a filling. Every tooth.
All right, well then that's the
no
problem.
No root canals.
How many was the total?
No root canals, no crowns.
Okay.
How many teeth?
Yeah, total.
Every single one.
Yeah, but
28. Well,
okay, I knew you had a number for how many fillings you were getting.
There's a tooth that has one on both sides. So I feel like that should count as 29. But
yeah, it does.
But they just count how many teeth need to be filled. But anyway, speaking of teeth,
we just recorded the new series of Call of Cthulhu, or at least 2/3 of it.
Not me.
What's that got to do with teeth?
Well, I mean, something could happen to teeth. Nothing happens to teeth, actually. But, you know, you might find teeth in places you don't expect, just in your body, like
looking
in a tumor.
Looking for teeth in all the wrong places.
Man, you ever seen that movie, Teeth? It's good.
What?
What just, movie, Teeth?
Just Teeth?
Yeah, it's the one where the
teeth?
Lady has.
I'm with Brandon on this. Yeah, you don't know about this.
Vajayjay.
Oh, vagina dentata.
Yeah, vagina dentata. Uh-huh. Thank you. I think we saw that.
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, you should see it.
Vagina dentata.
What a wonderful phrase. Vagina dentata.
So
it ain't no passing craze.
Okay. Means no penis.
Means no penis.
For the rest of your days.
Penis free philosophy. Vagina dentata.
Anyway. There's no extra charge for that song.
It will be
on iTunes.
Is that the title of this episode?
I don't know. I feel like we'd be infringing on Friday Night Fanfiction's territory if we did that. If you're not familiar with Call of Cthulhu, it's our RPG audio drama where we play the Call of Cthulhu role-playing system and turn it into a 1930s radio serial. It was a one-off. It was super popular, so now we're bringing it back. We don't have a release date yet, but we recorded two-thirds of the second series yesterday. We're not even really sure how many episodes that represents. We just recorded from noon to 9 p.m., and then we're going to keep recording.
So it's a second one-off.
Well, yeah, because I mean the thing about the Call of Cthulhu series,
it's different characters, like, different casts.
The mortality in this game in general is extremely high. So maybe people will survive, and maybe there'll be some kind of continuity thread of some kind. But generally, we have to recast every season.
It's like, what if American Horror Story was about Lovecraft and it was funny and good?
Hey, there was that one season with Stevie Nicks.
I've heard Stevie that's the worst Nicks? One.
Oh, that's the only one I've seen.
They brought Stevie Nicks for American Horror.
Yeah, it was
the White Witch
about witches and
I thought it was pronounced the Coven. I've been reading it wrong. I didn't know it was the Coven. That makes more sense with witches.
You ever see American Movie?
American Movie.
I've seen several.
American Movie.
I literally just saw American Movie where this exact conversation.
Coven and Coven. Yeah.
Wait, really? No, I have no idea what that is.
First of all. Let's. If you haven't seen American Movie, go see American Movie. I saw a trailer for it when it was coming to theaters,
and I
thought it was a mockumentary.
It's like 1992.
It's real. It looks like a mockumentary.
It is 100% real.
Yeah, it's 100% real, but it looks like Spinal Tap for independent film.
Yeah,
and it is about an independent filmmaker who made a bunch of strange horror films, such as Coven. And someone's like, "No, it's called Coven." But
and he goes, "No, Coven sounds like oven, and that's dumb." It's Coven.
Coven.
Yeah.
Got Coven. It.
Yeah. American Movie. It's really good. And this conversation happens in it.
Seth right. MacFarlane is a big fan of American Movie.
I didn't know that.
There are lots of references.
That definitely makes me want to see it now.
Are there really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Huh. Interesting. So like I said, no release date for Call of Cthulhu Series 2. But man, I did more research for that than I've ever done for anything before. We don't have any returning cast members except me, which was even like on the fence. Then the game master and I decided that I would perform a specific function in the plot, and so I researched a character who's very involved in the occult.
Do you think you did too much research?
Not really, but it does certainly feel like it. I mean, it's not going to show.
When my gaming becomes
just not gonna show.
Pure research, that loses the fun for me. I don't want to have to research in my games.
Well, I mean, it's not about what I would require for anybody else. It's simply what I would require for me to feel comfortable in the role. And like, I know the 1920s and really all of the early 20th century was overrun with different occult or esoteric movements, actual cults in Los Angeles, where every Hollywood person who wanted to make it had a special like palmist or some kind of card reader or
decoder ring
who was trying to, you know, they're trying to get an edge. Then, of course, Aleister Crowley was like, you know, active. His Thelemic Society was in full effect at that point.
You got that spooky book from the 1920s right behind you, Underneath Heroes of Destiny.
Oh, yeah. This spooky book.
Oh, I thought you were pointing to Neuromancer. I was like, it was pretty scary.
This isn't from the 1930s. This is from 1956. It's called Spooks Deluxe, Some Excursions into the Supernatural, as told to and recounted by Danton Walker.
These are all stories from that time.
These were recorded during the 1950s, Doug.
Some of those stories take place in those time periods.
I suppose so. I mean,
I read one that took place in the 1880s. Oh, and I was like, oh, geez.
That's fair. I mean, I did get this book for you, and you conveniently left it here. Yeah. So
after reading it,
so I wanted an excuse to read this intro for a while. So I might as well do it to begin with. Sure, I believe in ghosts. Why not? I believe in atomic energy, in television, radio, the telephone, the electric eye, and 1,000 other man-made miracles that we take for granted today, but which a century ago might have been ascribed to witchcraft. I believe in allergies, which at one time were ascribed to witchcraft. Hay fever was, at any rate. I believe in animal magnetism, malicious or otherwise, and that indescribable element that makes people fall in love. I believe in life and death. Some people are born to the world colorblind or tone deaf or without a sense of smell. Do they think we're crazy because we can't see, hear, or smell things they can't? I've never seen a ghost, and I hope I never see one, but plenty of other people have.
Wow. If there's a steady paycheck in it, I don't believe anything you say.
Yeah, anyway, so here's how far I took it. I went to a Gnostic Mass held by a local Thelemic society.
When did you do this?
A couple weekends ago.
Wow, this is recent.
Thelema is the religion created by Aleister Crowley based on the general principle of do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Love is the law, love under will.
Did you join a cult?
I did not.
You sound like you joined a cult.
Well, I did a lot
Catholics
of...
Catholics to go on these excursions.
That's how it starts,
I did
Doug.
A lot of research.
You're like, oh, Scientology, let me go into the building and research and talk to them. And then you come out and you're like,
let's take
a
personality test. It sounds good. It's free, you say?
Research.
Yeah, well, that only works if you're, you know, a rube. If you're like, I am looking for something. But the principles that the Thelemic religion is based on is actually kind of nice because it's basically do what you want to do. This is a religion that implicitly says you are an individual, you're on your own journey, and maybe you'll find focus through this religion and this its practices, but that's not the point. You are the point and what you do to make you a better person.
That sounds like they just stole that from the ending theme song to Adam's Family. Do what you want to do, say what you want to say. It's straight from that. The rap song that, you know.
From Adam's Family 2.
Yeah.
Wait, no. No.
One? I don't know. It was a great song, guys. But it's basically just what you said. And they're very spooky. So.
Right. So this is like if the Catholics were hedonists and it was...
Did you eat a cracker?
It was fascinating. I didn't. There's a communication, as they call it. But in this case, a guy was being baptized. So the only people who do that are the priest and... The,
was it at least a cool baptism in blood or something?
Well, let me tell you about the service.
Here we go.
Okay. So...
Get ready. Hold on.
We're opening a whole can of tentacles here.
There's two podiums. On one podium is some water, and the other one is sort of a general podium. Then there's an altar that was, it's very Egyptian and esoteric. It's got like a black and white checkered floor, a couple obelisks, Egyptian slab.
Like a scene out of Beetlejuice.
Yeah, like a scene out of Beetlejuice, yeah. And it's highly scripted, just like a Catholic mass. There's some words that are said. They move around in sort of a figure eight fashion.
Oh, that doesn't sound like a cult at all.
And, it's just like an infinity
well, I mean,
sign.
It is a cult, but not a cult.
They let you in, like, without knowing you.
Well, yeah, they're very friendly people.
All right.
I'm sorry I even mentioned this. This was not to put someone's culture on display and make fun of it. It was an interesting thing that I did. I don't want to grab any low-hanging fruit, and quite frankly, people who practice occult religions take enough heat from everybody anyway. What you been doing, Doug?
It's my second attempt at starting Deep Space Nine, and I'm 4 episodes in.
What do you mean? Okay, so
I started watching
because you can't stand it.
I couldn't get into it. I started Deep Space Nine a couple years ago.
It's really slow at the beginning, so I sort of understand. Yeah. It took me a couple of tries. Also,
it's not even that it's slow. Slow doesn't really bother me, but it's like I'm having a hard time.
It's very episodic. Like later on, it's more serialized, and there's big story arcs that go on, and like the characters have a lot more depth to them, but in the first couple of seasons, it's just kind of it feels like it drags a bit.
Right, and everything is still new to me, so it doesn't, like, I give it a lot of credence, I think. Like, I give it, like, a lot of space to sort of, you know, give it a little bit more time. The reason why it's the second attempt and why I didn't continue with the first attempt is because I was, like, so busy and didn't have a lot of time to watch it. I still don't really have time to watch shows, but, like, I feel like I owed it, you know, because with the new Trek coming up, and I haven't seen, like, I've only seen the original series and Next Gen. And, you know, I've just never seen, I mean, I've seen episodes here or there of Voyager, I've seen episodes here or there of Deep Space Nine, but I didn't understand the context, didn't know the characters at all. So I'm like, well, I got to do this, I have to do this right, I got to see it. And the first time around, I just couldn't connect to anybody, and with all due respect to all of the actors involved, it just, like, I wasn't grabbed. Like, I just wasn't pulled in. And I don't know if it's the writing, because I don't think it's the writing. I think the writing's fine.
That's how I feel about Voyager, though.
Yeah.
I started rushing Voyager. Like, I'm watching all of it, like, right now, and I'm on the second to last season.
I will say, the thing that was difficult for me to get used to was Benjamin Sisko. And I've joked before.
Really?
I joked before about how he feels like he's an alien in disguise as a human acting how he thinks humans act. Like, he doesn't, like, just this whole, like, he goes from, and granted, I'm basing this entirely off of just the first few episodes of the season. So by the time you get to season 7.
There's actually an episode that it's probably exactly totally what different. You just described,
but
by the way.
It feels like, you know, Men in Black, you get the little tiny
alien
in the head.
I think it's because his character just tries to, like, hold himself to a higher standard than he even wants to.
I feel like he's barely keeping it together, but that's the point.
Yeah.
And it's like...
No, it is.
Like, in the first episode, it's like 90 minutes, and he's just... No, it's... Yeah, it's like 90 minutes.
I think that in the first, like, couple seasons, there's a lot of... he's really pissed off at Picard.
Yeah.
That's one of the big plot points early on.
But it's not even like, he doesn't like Picard, therefore I don't like him. It's not even that. It's that he seems bipolar. And well, I don't
he,
trust
he kind
him
of
with
is
command.
Because Picard killed his wife.
But that's already been done with. That's over. He's focused on the station.
Well,
at first, he was
trying to be strong and lead this expedition on the space station that's the furthest out.
But he's also he's on a station that's not really Starfleet. It's not really Bajoran. He's got to work with the Bajorans.
And I hate
Cardassian
the fucking Bajorans. Oh,
everybody does. They're so whiny.
I really want the Cardassians to come in and just fucking.
They
just
should
wipe
win,
them out. Because at least that would be interesting. The Bajorans are just whiny, and I'm like, and here's. The other thing is the Bajorans.
What are you trying to say about the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, Doug?
Nothing. I just think that the here's why I don't like the Bajorans. I hate their face.
Wow.
Because
is it because they've got the noses?
It's because they
straight up racist.
It's the laziest Star Trek alien design in history.
All it is a different nose, and they got the earrings.
Yeah.
Is it really less? Than Trill? Trill just have some spots drawn on.
That is true. Well, no, because they take the form of whatever race they're in. They just, the race gets the spots.
Well,
on the show, they're only one species. The Trill are the Trill, and whether or not they have a symbiote is a symbioted Trill. Because
there was one that was a Klingon once, wasn't there? And then
This is the Trill or a worm creature. So I've seen the worm creature. That's the alien. No, this is just the vessel.
The Trill are the actual species of humanoids. The symbiote is just another organism that was on their planet and they learned how to coexist with it.
And I remember the episode with the Trill in Next Gen where they kind of explain it, but it's been so long since I've seen it. Now, the Trill... What happens to them when the symbiote's inside them?
They gain all of the knowledge and experience that the symbiote has from all of its previous hosts. So,
but the Trill, if the Trill doesn't have a symbiote, is it as normal as I am? Like it has its own feelings, thoughts, emotions, and everything?
Yes.
It has gone into bodies that weren't Trill.
It's a fusion of consciousnesses. So the symbiote has its own consciousness, and so does the Trill.
So when
they meld into one human.
So when Dax,
not human, but
moves
one being
from the one old dude into the current Lieutenant Dax,
right?
It still is Dax, but it has all the feelings and emotions also of that Trill.
And a newer personality
and all of the previous hosts.
Okay.
There will be extensive episodes that deal with this.
And I'm sure there will, because they've already started to dip into it a little bit.
I hate Dax, actually.
Really?
It's probably her hair. Anyway.
but still, at least there's a really unique biology to it. There's a really unique story to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a human, basically, with dots on their face. But the Bajorans...
Well, you were just originally poking fun at the aesthetics of the race. So that's why I was like, draw spots on the other one.
Yeah, no, you're... That's true, but the Bajorans still, so far, there were Bajorans in Next Gen.
I think the humans are the laziest.
There is no...
Race.
Yeah, the humans are the laziest.
They've done nothing to them.
Nothing to improve the humans. But the Bajorans, I have no idea what the biological differences are. I have no idea what they're capable of that are different than what the humans
are
capable of.
They have two penises. We'll get into
that. Yeah, I was
going to
say, wait until they take the trials down.
Also, I might add, Betazoids, that's super fucking lazy.
Yeah. Betazoids are super
Some
lazy
dark
as
contacts.
Well.
They do actually just look like people.
But at least the Betazoids... have these psychic abilities that makes them different from humans. I don't understand what the difference between a Bajoran and a human is, other than the nose.
Culture, genetics. Jeez, Doug.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah,
it really is.
And that is bullshit to me.
I think they might have a slightly longer lifespan, like all of the species on Star Trek, other than humans.
No, even humans have a longer lifespan than we do now.
Well, yeah.
So that's just medical science. I don't know.
It's medical.
Way, the Bajorans are so far every Bajoran that I've seen on that show is immature,
and they have PTSD.
Yeah, they all have PTSD.
Every single one.
I can't stand them.
Got it. So can't watch the show because of Bajorans.
It's very frustrating. Yeah, it's very frustrating. And, I like Odo. Odo's
in
cool.
In Doug's defense, though, the Bajorans were kind of annoying already on Next Gen.
Oh yeah,
And then now we just get so much more of them in Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
They're front and center.
At least with the Cardassians, what you see is what you get. I know what they want.
Wow.
I understand their motivations. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I understand it. Whereas the Bajorans, they're just a mess. I don't know. They got to get their shit together. And maybe Sisko can make that happen.
Well, I can't wait until you get a little bit further into it.
Like the next episode.
And again, Sisko, I have nothing against the man portraying the character, but it just feels very, the way he talks to Jake. It's just weird.
We'll have to revisit this after you are more well acquainted with the Dominion.
Sure.
But after the Dominion comes in, it's a different show.
But man, you think that's episodic? Wait till you get to Voyager.
I'm not even complaining the fact that it's episodic. I'm fine with things are episodic.
Voyager will have episodes where like people have lived whole lives and are traumatic and months and like spent in prison and not eating food, and then the next episode like nothing happened and my psyche is perfectly
Deep Space Nine.
Fine.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying that also happens in Voyager.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But look, clearly as a Star Trek fan of the original series and Next Gen, I think it's pretty obvious I'm fine with episodic storytelling. I am more than fine with episodic storytelling. So that's not what bothers me. But I'll keep it up.
Just you wait till they form the Niners and chew their whiskey flavored bubble gum, and then you'll warm right up.
Yeah, and then the fucking baseball comes in. All right. I mean, I hear the
cooler
baseball episodes
than it
are
sounds.
Cool. No, I hear that those are the fun episodes, but I'm just like, got a lot of shit to get to before I get there.
The Odo episodes are pretty good.
Yeah, he's cool so far. You know, I toyed with the idea of streaming the most boring stream ever. If I go on Twitch instead of streaming video games, because I can't set all that up, I'll just stream me watching Deep Space Nine.
Wait, but you can't show
right. So it'll just be me watching it, and just hear.
What if they see the reflection of the show in your glasses?
I was thinking about maybe doing that,
staring at your face.
But either way, the only reaction will be like, "Fuck is this? Who's this? Is that an alien?"
Then just you, like a person. And then just you sighing every 5 minutes.
Yeah. Here's Odo. Everyone, be quiet. I was like, you know, whatever. But.
Do you watch the opening every single time?
Yeah, just because when I would watch Next Gen, the opening would get me psyched.
It's a lot easier on that show than Enterprise.
Oh.
Enterprise is like, oh God.
Enterprise is like, oh God, fast forward. Come on, skip it.
Anyway, didn't want to turn this into a whole other Star Trek episode.
No, this is another Star Trek episode. Thank you, Doug.
It's new to me.
That's what Doug's been doing.
How about you, Bor?
I'll try to keep mine a little bit more abridged, but as previously mentioned, I'm in the middle of buying a house, which apparently
is going to take the end.
It's going to take like 10 times longer than what Brandon has experienced for some reason, even though I keep being repeatedly told that it's normal. But anyway, other than that, I had a really fun adventure today. I bought a phone off Craigslist, which I'm never going to do again.
I could have told you that.
This is already funny. I don't even know where it's going.
So, there are any sweet pics on there?
No. I wiped it out. I didn't get, you know, screwed over in person or anything. The phone it's fully functional. It's great. I got a really low price on it, but it turns out that I got a really low price on it because this woman didn't pay her bill. So it's blacklisted. And apparently as soon as I stuck my SIM card in it, Verizon was like, haha, nope. And then
can blacklist an actual phone, not the account associated with it?
For some reason, I think it's because maybe they purchased a phone and they didn't pay it off.
So weird. Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's what it has.
They sold you a phone that wasn't paid off.
So if they didn't complete that contract, I'm pretty sure that's what happened here.
So they paid $200 on a $500 phone.
Exactly.
Now you're stuck $300.
Yeah.
Right. But I can't. I called them up and I can't even pay it off.
Why not?
And the real rub is that it blacklisted my SIM card.
What? No!
So I pulled the SIM card out of my phone and I put it back into my old phone because I was like, okay, screw it. I'm just going to, you know, use my old phone, whatever. And then it wouldn't turn on. And I was like, what's going on? Why can't I use the internet or make calls? So I went into the Verizon store and they're like, well, actually, of course, in the store, they didn't know. I had to personally call the fraud department and talk to them for a while. But it took a little bit of convincing, and they finally unblocked my they had to sell me a new SIM card, of course, because the old one they couldn't use anymore. So,
jeez.
And then I got home and I didn't take my I didn't know anything was really super wrong with the phone. So I just took in the one that I wanted to use that I just bought. Mm-hmm. And so then they're like, oh, OK, well, we reactivated this SIM card. Take it home. So I took that home. I put it in my old phone. And they're like, oh, yeah, it'll work fine. It still didn't work. So I had to call him again. I had to call him up and talk to him for like another half hour. And finally, I got my phone back to working. And yeah. But there's a silver lining to this story. I bought the phone so cheap from this person that it's still worth more on eBay.
But how can anyone buy it?
Well, it can be used overseas. Overseas, I guess that's what people, when they steal your phone, they probably are selling it over.
Well, what kind of phone was it, if you don't mind me asking?
LG V20.
All right, I didn't know they had 20, but okay.
But I can either do that or they told me at the Verizon store, they'll straight up just like trade it in. So if I want to get a new phone or whatever, they'll just take it and give me credit.
So I could buy a phone for like $5 and then owe like $700 remaining and then sell it to someone real quick and they're screwed and it screws their SIM card?
If you don't care about your credit, yeah, go ahead.
All right. That's just so fucked up.
That is really fucked up.
Yeah, so so between that and as Cap mentioned, Call of Cthulhu happened recently, and that was good. And did any of you guys watch The Defenders?
No.
Am I the only one? Oh,
yes. I mean,
am I gonna have to monologue about it for a little while because it was great?
I mean, yeah, would give a brief feedback. I mean, the only reason I haven't done it is I haven't watched Luke Cage and I haven't watched Iron Fist. And I understand that. Iron Fish. I
would watch Iron Fish.
I understand that I don't have to have, but I want to. So
yeah, me too. And
it helps
out.
I feel like it's more important to watch Iron Fist and Daredevil than Jessica Jones and Luke Cage. Because
although those two shows are great.
Yeah, both of those shows are great. But as far as accessibility to the Defenders goes and understanding what's actually happening, there's a lot of involvement with the Hand. Mm-hmm. So Luke Cage and Jessica Jones
didn't really have quite as much hand
involvement. I mean, they did, but it wasn't quite as extreme. But I loved it. It was really good. It might be my favorite one so far.
Interesting. Is it
a spoiler to say who the main villain is? That's probably.
I mean, I don't.
That's probably common
Sigourney
knowledge.
Weaver.
Yeah, Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, I saw it in that trailer.
As the main villain.
I feel like you might be in the minority from my group of friends that they've been posting that it's kind of meh, but you seem to really like it.
I don't know. I really liked Iron Fist and everybody's shat on it too. So maybe I'm just really accepting.
I really want
I'm not sure.
I haven't seen it. I really want to like Iron Fist because
I just heard it was kind of lame and the fighting was lame. And then there's just a white rich guy whining, even though he's a superhero.
I'm still of the opinion that there was a few reviews released before Iron Fist came out where they tore apart the fighting. And a lot of people went into it hating the fighting and looking for the flaws. And, yeah, I think a lot of people like went into it with preconceived notions that just weren't
wiped
away.
Well, Denica hated it, and she didn't read any. She's just like, she watched it without me, first off. I was like, hey, that sucked. But anyway, she watched it without me, and she's like, yeah, I didn't really care.
And then there was another group of people that got really mad because Danny Rand was a white guy, but
that's how it is in the comics.
It really shouldn't be any other way, according to how the story goes. Yeah. So, I mean, that's his character.
Yeah, him being a fish out of water.
Exactly.
Yeah, that the whole whitewashing thing I thought was stupid.
An iron fish out of water.
Iron Fist is actually
that's the problem. It wasn't whitewashed.
Yeah,
that's just how the story was.
Isn't the character
wasn't anti-whitewashed?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the character in the comics actually a white character?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So I don't know why people were complaining. I have a few Asian friends. But in my feed, they were all really pissed off.
Could you scoot over here? I want to pat you on the back.
But they were.
Is that why you're mad at me? You got some Bajoran friends too? Is that why you were mad?
But some of them posted like they were really pissed. I was like, oh, you get a white dude to do martial arts in Iron Fist. That's fucking great. And I'm like, I didn't want to really reply, but I was just like, I'm pretty sure
Daredevil's a white dude too.
He does
a lot of martial arts.
I never read the comic books, and I was just like, I thought Danny Rand or whatever was always. That's the point.
Bruce Wayne's a white dude.
God. Like, that's the story.
Here's the thing. If they really wanted to do, you know, to ignore Iron Fist. Iron Fist, like Danny Rand's character, is
Fish.
I have a mush mouth tonight. Excuse me. Iron Fist and Danny Rand's character is all about being a fish out of water. That is his whole deal. That's what makes Iron Fist Iron Fist. And you could make him another race that's not Asian, but he kind of needs to be somewhere outside of that cultural identity for him to work. However, they do have the character, the Master of Kung Fu, who they could have done a show about instead and made him a defender instead and incorporated a bunch of Iron Fist's background into him instead.
Well, wasn't Iron Fist one of the original or founder of the Defenders or something in the comics?
No one cares about the Defenders. Howard the Duck and the Hulk and Stephen Strange were in the Defenders.
Don't count them out.
Did I mention the fan theory before about how to make Iron Fist way more enjoyable?
What was it?
No.
A coworker of mine at work, he told me, he goes, yeah, I watched Iron Fist and I didn't really like it at first because it was just kind of meh. I didn't hate it, but I heard someone online say this and I watched it with this in mind and I enjoyed it like 100% even more. And it's that when you watch Iron Fist, and I'm going to do this when I watch it, the headcanon you should have is that Danny Rand becomes Iron Fist. He gets the powers and everything, but
He is the worst Iron Fist in history. But he knows it. And he's trying to deal with that.
Hmm. And that's true.
Yeah.
So
I thought they pointed out in the show.
The show feels like that.
And if that's the way it is, then awesome. Like I'm automatically, after seeing the trailer, I'm like, all right, he's a kung fu guy. I don't know, whatever. But then it's like, oh no, he gets this magical power, but everybody thinks he's a piece of shit. Then I'm like, okay, that's a little more interesting.
Well, yeah, like that's something that I heard people complain about, that like, oh, he's you know, just this stuck up rich kid, and you know, he's kind of whiny and he doesn't fight very well, and
that's
blah, blah,
what
blah,
I heard
blah. And I'm like,
watching the show, yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Isn't that kind of how it's supposed to be?
Yeah, I mean, he can't episode one out the gate be the immortal Iron Fist.
Well, I think the problem is like badass, you know? Don't like him because you're not really supposed to at the beginning, but by the time the show ends, you still don't like him.
Maybe I don't. I,
but
have
I
to
haven't
watch
seen
it,
it
have
yet.
Yeah.
We need to watch it together.
Well, if you watch the Defenders, you get to watch him square against Luke Cage and see how that goes down. So
I can already imagine, but. I guess I'm going to watch Iron Fist first.
I mean, what I'm most excited for is the relationship building between Iron Fist and Luke Cage. That's really important. I was a bit upset that they didn't start with that. I thought that would have been kind of like good if they were already pals instead of them becoming pals. But
that would be weird.
Their bromance is one of my favorite
shows.
Oh, like, they could bro fist like nobody's business.
I mean,
together.
Boom.
There could be a shockwave, yes.
They're some of my favorite pals in mainstream comics. Like that's just how it is. They're best together, and maybe that was the problem with the show. Maybe just like them not being a duo.
You can see that they're trying to start to build that.
Yeah.
But it's the beginnings of it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of things that everyone's behind on, I did something this past weekend that some chosen few who have a lot of money to throw around have done months and months ago. I played Virtual Recality. Rick and Morty Virtual Recality.
Oh.
Uh-huh. I strapped on an HTC Vive, and I got thrown into the world of America's favorite cartoon show. And
Flintstones?
It was fucking great. It was so goddamn good. It's like...
What is it? What happened?
All right. So, you know Job Simulator.
I was going to say, I think it looked like Job Simulator with a different theme.
Yes, but it is Job Simulator in its ultimate form. It's a self-aware spin on that concept of being in a virtual space, doing mundane tasks, and being so fascinated by how one-to-one real it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the thingamajigs in your hand, clicking a trigger to make your hand close around a doorknob and opening that door and looking underneath cabinets and stuff, getting on your hands and knees looking like a goddamn moron in the real world, but feeling like a hero in the virtual world. But with the humor and interactivity with the Rick and Morty universe, it was fucking phenomenal. It was so weird. You play a... quote, clone of Morty that Rick has around to do benign tasks. and what you are, the reason there's quotes around clone, is that you are just a floating head and a pair of floating hands.
But they like acknowledge that.
Yes, they acknowledge that, yes.
Of course.
Like, you'll drink something and Rick will be like, oh, that'd be great if you had a stomach. So... you're basically wandering around Rick's garage most of the time doing random stuff, and he'll call you in and be like, hey, Clone Morty, I need you to do this random thing because we need help elsewhere, you know, like, you know, teleport something to here, or like, I'm going to open a portal and, you know, go out into space and unscrew a bunch of things on a satellite to get a fuse out of there, to bring it to the thing, to do the stuff, and then you play this, like, crazy Simon game inside of a shrunken bottle city thing.
It sounds like the show, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the show. Justin Roiland's monologues as Rick and Morty are fantastic. Hey, turns out in season four, Morty's a canon vegan. He says that like, I'm vegan. In season four, I'm going to be vegan. That's canon now.
And he only says that in the game.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, so how do I get access to this? It's just download?
Yeah, you get an Oculus or an HTC Vive.
And then download.
And then Steam.
Yeah, and then Steam. Yeah. And I mean, it is...
like $20.
It is incredible. It is so much fun. It is so weird.
I'm waiting for the Pickle Rick DLC.
there was a cucumber in there, and I was like,
you lay down and let everything take you away until you can build rat armor.
the Pickle Rick experience in VR would be something. The rats coming right at you and shit, trying to just punch them away.
I mean, it is really clever how they worked so much into such a small space, because you don't essentially leave the garage, but through the portal gun, you go to an alien world, and you go to, like I said, space and the bathroom elsewhere in Morty's house. And
there really should be a pickle version because you can't move.
In VR.
Yeah. You're just sitting in your one spot. All you got is your hands and your head. And that's the pickle, Rick. That's the pickle version.
Give him a few months. Maybe it'll
until
happen.
The cat comes along. Yes. And then it all changes.
Well, then the screen just starts moving while you're not moving.
Yeah.
You just start get pushed
that's
around.
The experience.
Yeah.
There's a tutorial that's like, lick the cockroach neurons.
It should be like a roller coaster ride where you are the pickle.
Yeah, down the drain.
Yeah. That'd be great.
So Rick acknowledges that you can't leave the garage. And the way, but there's sometimes you could throw objects outside the open garage, or you could throw objects out. You could break the window and throw objects out in the backyard, but you can't personally get out there. So you have a Mr. Meeseeks ball. it's a Mr. Useeks, actually, because he completely mirrors you, and it's a Mr. Meeseeks with the VR thing strapped to his face. So you throw the ball, and then he mimes you, and you have to figure out how to work backwards to bend down and grab something off the floor and work your way through. And then if you want that Mr. Useeks to go away, you grab the VR helmet on the front of his face and rip it off, and he's screaming the whole time, and then he explodes.
Oh, this sounds amazing. I wish I had the $800 for the headset.
Well, the Vive did lower in price.
$700?
It's six. It's six now.
All right. Someday.
And then in response, the Oculus lowered its price. So
you said
it's still
that, is
cheaper.
This only on Steam, you said? Or can I just
well, I mean, you,
download
there's,
it?
There's no, you don't buy hard copies of virtual reality games.
That's not what I meant. I meant where does this game exist?
Is for Vives, you have to have Steam because has all the drivers for the Vive and everything like that.
Okay,
so
see, I didn't know that launches
the game with the proper.
So you forever have to use the Steam console to use things with the Vive.
Steam console?
Sorry, yeah.
I mean, there is a Steam Link, but it's not a console. It's just,
I don't really use Steam that much. Sorry. The program.
You have used it, though, so you're acting like you've never seen it before.
It's a program you open, you launch games. You have to do that with the Vive.
So, G. Willikers, where do you get the CD for this game? Where do you put it in, old man Brandon?
It's just a fucking launcher is all it is.
How many discs for the install?
But you can't just buy a game, install it, and use your Vive with it. That's what you're saying, unless you do it through Steam.
A game on CDs.
Am I correct? I don't know. I'm asking.
Yes, you have to use Steam.
Floppy discs.
So
gigabytes ain't no way there's that much room in the whole world.
I hate everyone right now.
This show and all the shows on the Nerdy Show Network are entirely listener supported. We rely on your donations, mostly via Patreon. Patreon is the ideal way to contribute to us. You get early releases of shows and a bunch of bonus content and other features like the Nerdy Show Lounge, and mm-hmm. that's a Facebook group that's exclusive to Nerdy Show hosts and patrons, where we do a lot of our socializing with the fans. We got some new folks joining us. Three new people have joined up, including...
We have a new patron by the name of Mike Braun.
Adam Wolffinger.
And Ravens in the Attic. I know you gave me that one on purpose. That's a little scary. You know, if you go into an attic and there's ravens in there, either one of two things are happening. Well, one, they found a hole and they're nesting in there. Or two, they've been trapped in there and they're going to eat you because they're carnivorous.
I think Hitchcock made a whole movie about that.
No, I don't think so.
No? I must have someone else.
He made a movie about iron fish.
A common misconception. He made the film Crabs.
Yeah, they were CG'd out later.
That's not what you think.
Later, they were CG'd out and they replaced them with birds.
Yeah, later on.
In the director's cut.
You saw a different crab movie than I did.
I'd like to be in the Foley department for that movie. It'd just be like a bunch of castanets everywhere.
Another way you can help support us that's totally free is rating and reviewing us on iTunes or Podchaser. And if you're familiar with iTunes, then you'll know, oh, hey, that's where podcasts come from, but it sucks.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do everything.
Yeah.
And even rating and reviewing, they need my credit card information. Well, brave soul, if you use iTunes and would like to leave us a rating and review, that is great because that's still the number one place for people to discover things. However, Podchaser, we hope to be the iTunes killer. It's a platform built specifically for podcast discovery. And yes, you can listen to them there too. We don't have any reviews from that because folks haven't reviewed us on there in the past 2 weeks. But we're doing good. I asked everybody to continue to rate us there so we could climb up the ladder. We were in the top 10. We dipped down to the top 15. Well, now we're in the top 14.
Moved up.
We moved up.
Considering more podcasts are joining it all the time, it's pretty good.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too shabby. So please continue to rate and review us there. You don't have to do a review. You can just do a rating. And even better, you can rate single episodes. So if you think there was an episode that was particularly good and you want to make sure other people find that, like in sort of generating a Nerdy Show greatest hits thing, well, go back in the back catalog and make sure your favorites are the standouts with the most reviews or ratings or whatever. But anyway, since Call of Cthulhu has returned, I did set aside some recent iTunes reviews for Call of Cthulhu, and we didn't have any other ratings or reviews to read. So the first one is RPG Tabletop for the Win by Jinx. Wow! Thank you all who contributed to the show. Great characters and great playing. You've inspired me greatly. Thank you. Thank nice. You, Jinx.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I got one that's titled Fantastic by Real M. Effer. So this is a real motherfucker. That's what that stands for.
Oh, you know? I didn't know. All
yeah,
this
Real
time.
M. Effer. That's what it stands for. M. Effer. Bad,
I thought it was Morning Fudge.
Real bad MF.
Fantastic by Real Motherfucker. Yeah.
To have a name like that, did he have to have actually loved a mother?
I don't know.
Was it real spelled R-E-E, like he's good at fishing?
No. Oh, real okay. as in the real deal.
All right, cool.
And the review says, really funny cast and compelling story. Give it a listen. You won't regret it, with many exclamation points.
That's a lot.
So, you know, keeping it real.
Now, the one that you gave me, at first glance, I thought it was a haiku because of the way you have it written.
It's a...
But it turns out that it's not a haiku. It's actually a subject, an author, and then the review. I'll just read it as it is. A Hidden Gem by Happy Belschnickel. A hidden gem of comedy and insanity with an exclamation mark. That could almost be a haiku. Shifted around just a little bit.
757.
But thank you, Happy Belschnickel.
If anyone wants to write us a haiku as a review,
it's been done before.
Yeah.
Weej, I believe, was the
yes.
I think it was speaking of,
I have one from Weej was already taken. That's their name. That's their name because Weej was already taken.
All right.
This one's entitled "What Would You Consider This Show?" They write, "I consider it necessary." It's a good review. One word. Necessary. Yeah.
So thanks, folks. Thank you. And like I said, still, we have no idea when the show's going to come out, but we're working on it, so sooner than later. Because, you know, previously, we didn't even think we were going to do more.
I definitely didn't.
So let's talk about probably the biggest news in video games this past week. Secret of Mana's coming back.
Yay.
I don't know that it actually is, but it definitely rattled our cages.
I mean, I Secret of Mana is probably my favorite game of all time, and the remake looks absolutely horrible. It's for Super Nintendo, by the way, if you don't know Secret of Mana.
So it's a remake.
I think so. Oh, no, was it a remake or a remaster?
Well, remaster would imply that it's the same thing exactly as it was, but
yeah, it's
better.
A remake.
And this is
worse.
This is a game that was formerly, you know, 2D sprites on Super Nintendo and is now 3D models, voice acting, the works. We haven't seen the trailer shows no gameplay.
It may just be because it's nowhere near being completed, but the animations and even the voice acting and everything is like reminiscent of like a PS2 or PS1 game.
Yeah, now I don't mind it aesthetically, but I do question why they would make a big deal out of a game that looks like it could run on a phone at this point.
Yeah, I mean, they could have used the Unreal Engine. That would have been cool. But no.
I mean, it's a very stylized game to begin with. When they did the art for the instruction booklet, the characters were rendered in clay. Like, it has a very...
I still have the instruction booklet and the map that comes with it.
I
have the map on my wall of the world.
At face value, I don't mind it. And if we haven't seen any... We've seen some screenshots of the battle system, but if it's the same battle system, that's cool. Like, I would love to have sort of a 3D Secret of Mana experience where everything is slightly different, slightly enhanced.
I mean, it looks so janky. It doesn't look nearly as smooth as the original. And the voice acting, will not be able to get past.
The voice acting is really bad. Actually, in the trailer, the only voice acting you hear is the main character who didn't have a name before.
It didn't talk, as far as I know.
Yeah, he was a silent protagonist. But now his name is Randy, and he sounds like this.
Chosen? So does that make me a hero? Like the legends? Fortress? Like the one that destroys the world in that fairy tale?
Fuck you, Randy, you piece of shit.
What an asshole. I don't want him to save the world.
Fucking breathy, bewildered motherfucker.
My problem with this whole remake is they missed a golden opportunity to introduce people to the Secret of Mana world, because there's really only one or two games that are decent and the rest suck. And the reason I also say they missed a golden opportunity is because the game that was released was never completed. It was being made for like a Sony CD system, and when that fell through, they cut off like the last third of the game and reduced the graphics.
But you're talking about Secret of Mana, right?
Yes.
Now? What?
Yeah. When the Sony CD project fell through for Nintendo, they had to cut like a third of the story, which is why when you get near the end of the game, some of the weapons can't be fully leveled. They cut out a third of the story, reduced the graphics so it would work on a SNES cartridge.
You never know. The game is long
they
as hell.
Had. The opportunity to now finish the game and make it the way it was supposed to be and actually update
it. You're sure you're not talking about Secret of Mana 2, which was never released in the United States?
No, I played the shit out of that one. Okay. Secret of Mana 1.
Okay, wow.
But they missed out, and I don't know why they're celebrating, like, was this like a 20th year anniversary or something? They're celebrating it like it's a big deal, and it literally looks like it could run on like the first iPhone. It's just a shit game. Which they did remake Secret of Mana for iPhones, like just a port
with weird touch
but
buttons.
It sucks. It's horrible. Yeah. So
I will say, however, the voice acting does not universally suck. It's just Randy, and unfortunately Randy's the main character.
But you're Randy. I guess you can switch to the other
and
two.
It's Randy with an I. There's also the girl has been renamed Prim with two M's.
Don't worry, I'll keep your secret.
Ooh.
I'll go with you, but in return you have to help me rescue Diluc afterward.
And that's fine. Totally fine.
There's no emotion there.
And the sprite's been named Popoy.
Popoy?
It's in my nature to be tricky. I'm a sprite. Don't worry. We can clean up all those annoying enemies for you.
Sure. Mm. Why not? But fuck Randy. Let's listen to that piece of shit again.
Chosen?
No.
So does that make me a hero?
No, it makes you...
Like the legends?
Okay, shut up.
Stop that.
Shut up.
I just saw the beginning of the trailer. It's like, what's this sword? And it just reminded me of like Resident Evil 1.
Blood. I hope it's not Chris's blood.
Yeah, that's the level of voice acting. And pretty much the quality of the character animations too.
On the Nerdy Show Lounge, Jeremy said, I'm always skeptical about these kind of remakes of games near and dear to me, especially after the god-awful one for Final Fantasy IV.
Yeah, I won't play it. I won't play this new remake. I'm just whatever.
Kutsushita said, I really don't know why these remakes need to be 3D at all. I'd have considered a 4K resolution sprites an actual selling point. We can only pray it's still fun to smash monsters and that these bells and whistles don't distract too much. Skeptical, though, considering their apparent priorities going into this remake. Blizzard is currently showcasing how you can make people go gaga for what is essentially a 4K resolution patch with StarCraft Remastered. Of course, in that particular case, fans would not have accepted tweaks to the actual gameplay at all.
Oh, yeah.
Only graphical updates and back-end stuff. Not even the music and sound effects were touched, but that's all it needed. Just bring the original game and make it ready for the current gen of equipment.
Yeah, the original Secret of Mana, I loved it. I don't think they needed to do this at all.
But knowing
but we'll have it with an HD, you know, hookup soon.
And good thing that it's HD so we can check out those great graphics, which could have been perfectly decent cel-shaded graphics, but they just didn't render enough. It's really weird. Yeah. Such a disappointment.
Boy, did you ever play this game?
No.
Yep, me either. I don't know what we're talking about.
Before your time, guys. Before your time.
I got together $80 of my own allowance money. Earned over I don't know how long period of time to buy this game.
Oh, yeah, back when they were $79.99 for a Super Nintendo
game. I spent that $80 on Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3.
I think this is before Mortal Kombat 3's time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Still, I spent $80 on that game, I think, somewhere around there.
Have you ever played any games by Supergiant, the ones who made Bastion and Transistor?
No, but have you played Mortal Kombat 2?
Is that the one where you can throw weapons at each other?
No, that's actually that doesn't happen until at least 4.
Oh, jeez. Right.
I paid $50 for Jackie Chan's Stuntmaster on PlayStation.
That's a good game, though. I don't know.
It had its heart in the right place.
That doesn't sound like a good idea.
It's not a glowing review. It was a great... The idea for the game was pitched as, you're Jackie Chan... And you're running around like in a Jackie Chan adventure, swinging on things, kicking boxes.
Jumping through chairs.
Yeah, and like doing cool shit and getting into cool fights.
They should just make a game based on the animated show he was in.
That would have at least been something that would at least made sense. This was not very good. They tried very hard. They actually tried, but it just didn't connect.
Oh, hey. There was a Jackie Chan Adventures video game for PlayStation 2.
Yeah, I wonder why I didn't play it.
That is all. Anyway, Dirk Gently's coming back.
Yay.
I mean, we knew that. We knew he was getting another season.
I mean, with that cliffhanger at the end of the first season.
But there is a trailer.
Oh, the trailer's so good. Don't know what don't know what else to say about it because there's so many spoilers. Like, if you haven't seen Dirk Gently yet, you need to watch it immediately. It's on Hulu right now. It's like, what, eight episodes, something like that?
I haven't seen
Yeah, I think
it.
It's seven or eight episodes. Doug, you need to get on it.
That's pretty good.
It's so sharply written, Doug. Wait, we've pitched this in the show before.
It's about Elijah Wood. Now get on it.
It's about Elijah Wood?
Yes.
Well, count me sold.
Him as himself. Now get on
They
it.
Talk about how they made those Lord of the Rings movies?
Yes, those are all in it.
Oh my gosh.
What if Doctor Who jumping into your life and being fantastic and infallible was actually well written and interesting?
And there's no time machine.
I'd wake up from the dream I was having.
And the whole part about him being...
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
And oh, there's no TARDIS.
Is he an alien?
Good save.
No.
Then this isn't... All right. Okay. Sure.
He seems like one, though.
We're not doing a good job of pitching this because I intentionally dodged pitching it, but...
Yeah. Why'd you I mean, the only way we could pitch it is by talking about the first
Every
season.
Time we've talked about a TV show where you all were like, hey, Doug, you really got to watch that show. You've done a terrible job pitching it to me. Same with American Gods.
Okay.
Same with Deep Space Nine.
You all know I'm really good at describing things and pitching ideas. So here I go. Doug, do you like British people?
Sometimes.
Do you like American people?
More or less.
Okay. Combine them in a show made by both, containing characters of both, going on wacky adventures with both those characters. How do you feel now about this show?
Sounds like the Arnold Palmer of mediocre.
How do you feel about unkillable women? What about psychic vampires?
All right, something at least.
Dirk Gently's got all that and more. Tune in.
That's at least more specific than Americans and British people.
How about a cat? How about sharks?
All right, so the universe is a ball of chaos, but a bunch of forces that are bound together by all kinds of drama and psychic activity. And if you just sort of let it happen, you can, in many ways, predict the future, uncover great mysteries, solve problems. You can stumble through reality in a ball of chaos and maybe, just maybe, uncover some deeper truths. And that
sounds a lot like the American Doctor
Who. Wait. Okay, I got it. Have you read any Douglas Adams books?
Yes.
Okay, it's him.
There's an American Doctor Who now?
Said it sounds like an American Doctor Who.
Oh.
Douglas Adams did Dirk Gently. He wrote it.
Oh, really?
Yes. There you
Why
go.
Why don't you just start
Sorry,
with that?
Sorry, there you go.
Just start with, hey, Douglas Adams made a show.
Quite
well,
honestly.
I mean, he didn't make the show.
He wrote two books. Yes. He wrote two and a fragment of a book.
But it's got his humor.
His based on his,
it's got his humor, his wit, and his writing.
I thought that went without saying. My mistake.
So
I'm
you
could
have started it by just saying, all right, there's these books. There's two books written by Douglas Adams called Dirk Gently, whatever. They made a show about it. And I go, oh, okay. Makes sense.
There
Ready
you go.
To go.
There you go.
All right.
So,
man, you guys burying the lead.
I got it later.
You got a bathtub.
I got a toaster. I can make sure this never happens again.
like if I was trying to describe Deep Space Nine, I'd be like, do you like aliens? Do you like space stations where sometimes aliens walk around on them? It's like, are you talking about Babylon 5? No, I'm not talking about Babylon 5.
How do you feel about aliens where they just put some crap on their nose and they call them aliens?
And then I'm just like, look, man, I don't know. Is there any way you can describe it? Well, it's based on this thing that Gene Roddenberry made called Star Trek. Oh, why didn't you say so? You guys got to work on that.
I'm sorry, I'm not good at pitching anything.
You got to the point, though. You got to the
Cap
point.
Cap and Vore are supposed to be the ones that are good at pitching things and describing things. I'm not good at it.
All right, what else? What else? Okay.
Fuck you, bitches.
Dirk Gently season two. Okay.
Well, cool. You need to watch the first. You can't just watch season two. You gotta
if you haven't
the
seen the
one.
Trailer, if you've watched the first season, definitely watch that trailer.
You're going to get hyped.
Holy crap. Hype level is so high. Looked really, really Really
I'm just
good.
Wondering. I'm wondering what happened to the kitten. That's all I'm gonna say.
I've been checking out the recently released cartoon series OKKO Let's Be Heroes.
Oh yeah, I just watched an episode of that less like maybe an hour ago.
Yeah, because I showed it to you.
Yeah, that's right.
it's from Ian Jones Courtley, who's a major feature of Steven Universe,
mm-hmm.
And you also might know him from Bravest Warriors. He's the voice actor who plays Wallow. It's a weird show. There was a pilot for it that came out back in 2012, maybe? Long time ago. The same round of pilots that were publicly released by Cartoon Network that contained the original pilot for Steven Universe and Clarence. And then also OKKO, or as it was known at the time, Lakewood Plaza Turbo. And of the roster of pilots, it was third best. I didn't think they were doing anything more with it. And now they've got this new show where, much like how Steven Universe was completely different from what they showed then, completely different. Like, very, the show's weird because it's very poorly animated. It, there's not a lot in the way of frames. The designs are very simplistic, but it has a lot of character. I don't know if they were told, like, hey, we got this budget, so you could do X or Y with it, and they tried to, you know, get the most bang for their buck. But it's interesting because it changes. Every episode is very different. It's almost like, you know, cartoons are very much based on what's storyboarded, visually speaking. This is like what's being interpreted in the storyboards is never consulted like via a model. Like, it is just what's drawn. Sometimes styles will change drastically in the way that the characters emote. It's like there's a basic idea of what a character looks like, but how that is expressed is totally random, very fluid.
It feels like you're flipping through a sketchbook at, you know, like 16 frames a second, you know? Like,
it's about a world where it's kind of, it's based on anime and other cartoon tropes.
It's based on, like,
fighting
RPGs.
Games. Yeah. Basically, you throw a bunch of nerd stuff in a box, anime, professional wrestling, collectible card games,
dungeons,
and you shake it all up, and then you get this show about a shopping plaza in a weird world where there's a maniac doctor who builds robots across the street and tries to destroy things all the time.
I didn't even know there was a story.
It's like there's a plot, but there's not really a plot. It's kind of about a bunch of characters hanging out, but like every person in the world has a power card, and the power card has a picture of them and shows what their level is, their power level, and those will get updated. And like, but it's the real world. That's the world that they live in. And the main character is this little kid who wants to be a hero when he hangs out with a couple cool deadbeats working at a bodega.
But what I saw of it earlier was it was pretty hit or miss, because you showed me one episode and I watched it fully and I was like, nah, it was all right. But it's nothing I'm going to give a shit about. And then you showed me another episode and I was like, that was a really good episode. Why are they so drastically different? I don't know.
I don't know either. Yeah.
But it's just one was really amazing and one was just like, meh.
Also different humor in both.
Oh, yeah. One was like, whoa, that's way more adult and mature. And then the episode before was like, I don't care for this.
One was like Adventure Time and...
The Snorks.
You know, and Clarence and fucking Being Puppy Cat and all these shows mixed together, you know? It's very hard to describe.
I mean, it is written and storyboarded by a lot of different people.
Oh, I mean, that's probably why.
But the thing that makes it distinctly different is there appears to be not much in the way of editorial oversight of like, hey, this is off model. It's like, oh, that's off model. That's fun. Keep doing it. Or, you know, hey, this is completely different in tone from what was before. That's fine. Keep doing it.
All right. I mean, as long as they keep making good episodes, I'll watch it.
It's a roulette wheel of a show.
But it's never bad. So it's just it's kind of fascinating, and I've watched all the episodes so far and have really enjoyed it and gotten varying degrees of invested. But when it's on, it's really on. If you see any one episode, probably check out We Got Pests, because that was the one that really impressed.
That was
everybody.
The good one. Yeah. That was a good one.
Struck a chord with us.
Yeah.
All right then. On that note, we're gonna get the hell out of here. We'll see you next week with I don't know, something. Taking us out is a track from Mega Ran and K Murdoch from their Forever Famicom album. This is a rap over the top of a beat constructed out of a Secret of Mana tune. It's called Player 2.
Sometimes I need someone to hold me down, cause you know a player gets lonely. Now strike me if you able to, you can be a player too. Sometimes I need someone to hold me down, cause you know a player gets lonely. Now strike me if you able to, you can be a player too. If we can't have trust, then you can't hang with us, cause this game's so difficult. It makes me
really wanna cuss. I feel like I'm getting ridiculed by scores of enemies who literally respawn every second. You kidding me? I'm riddling these cats with shots, and it ain't phasing them or making them retreat. Man, they think I'm trying to play with them. I made it this far on my own, but now I hit a wall. Hurting ain't no fun unless the homies get involved. Getting all frustrated, I hate it. I'm jaded, I wanna take it out. Power off, never again play it. I'm faded, should've been in bed hours ago. I called you, I tweeted you. Where were you when I needed you? Sometimes I need someone to hold me down. Cause you know a player gets lonely, lonely. Now Skype me if you able to, you can be a player too. Sometimes I need someone to hold me down. Cause you know a player gets lonely, lonely. Now Skype me if you able to, you can be a player too. They got me cornered, I'm a goner. If you're gonna get a quarter, then I think you oughta become a supporter. And join me if you able to, you can be a player too. They got me cornered, I'm a goner. If you're gonna get a quarter, then I think you oughta become a supporter. Get so hot, thank God for co-op. Aliens, armed troopers, the robots. I know not what I would do without y'all. Doctors making house calls, running out of ammunition. I'm hit, I'm a sitting duck. Listen up to my transmission, come and pick them up. This is what a player do. Promise I'ma stay with you. Wolverine and Sabretooth, brothers in arms, recover the bomb. Some we got the weather, the storm. My hammer of dawn, calamity gone. I can't go wrong, my family strong. Got infinite continues, I'm with you until we end it. Revenge is so splendid, showing me nothing to contend with. You with it, I'm with it, then let's win it. Exquisite, ain't leaving a spot till every achievement's unlocked. Got the feelings fleeing in flocks, bringing heat to the block, boy. Up, up, down, down to ABBA. Been with you from the beginning, every step of the way. Killing with no delay, call me, make it a three-way. Come on, the time.